Welcome to Your Call to Action with your host, Simon Bruno, sharing inspiration and motivation from the e-commerce world. Today, this is your call to action. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Your Call to Action. Today, my guest is Henry Kelsey from Wilderness Equipment. How's it going, Henry?
Good, mate. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Pleasure to have you on. So let's just get started with first question, which is, who are you and what is Wilderness Equipment?
So Wilderness Equipment is a 43-year-old business from Western Australia. We make really specialised outdoor equipment. So we make tents, we make packs, we make rainwear. And we make gear that's for sort of the worst conditions that you can imagine. So it's, you know, it's really great for high winds, freezing cold, sort of very diverse situations to what we have here locally in Western Australia. Brand was started by my father, Ian Maley, back in August 1977. I guess you could say I came on board in September of 1990, although I probably wasn't much help in the early years.
Yep.
And I basically grew up sewing my own gear in our factory in North Fremantle back when we had our Australian production facility.
Yeah.
And then came on board as a sort of brand manager and joined Ian in the business in 2012.
Yeah, so nice.
Cool. Been working on that side of things for 8 years now.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. So were you always into the whole camping, fishing sort of
thing? Oh, totally. Like I remember when we were kids, all of our holidays were either out bush, sleeping in tents or just sleeping under the stars, or sailing. So we, you know, spend a fair amount of time on the ocean as well. So it's been a real key part of my life.
Yeah.
And I guess that I'm really lucky to have a family environment like that, but also to be able to have sort of my interests so closely tied into what I do professionally. Because I think
really
a lot
cool.
of people have a bit of a disparity there, but for me it's like...
So you're following your
everything
passion.
Everything all the time. Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yeah.
So how has your year been with everything that's been going on? You know, I mean, e-commerce as a whole, I think, has boomed since COVID, but from your perspective, what has it done for you?
So I think it's been a pretty interesting year. Been a pretty interesting calendar year. The start of the year was, I guess, a little bit difficult in terms of uncertainty about where the year was going to take us. We are great supporters of outdoor education, and we make a number of products specifically for outdoor education. And the Australian outdoor education season, I guess, really sort of kicks off end of term one, depending on where you are in the country, of course. And as COVID kind of hit, that was the point in time at which all the outdoor educators were getting ready for school camps. And so their year plans really got thrown into disarray.
Yep.
And that sort of threw ours out as well. So in that first half of the year, we sort of didn't really know what was going to be happening. But then as different regions in Australia started to either have successes or difficulties, that really kind of defined how our year was going to go. And for us, because we make things for, you know, bad weather, difficult trips, Tasmania is a really important place for us. And Tassie has had an absolutely, have done a fantastic job in this pandemic. And so it seems like life down there is pretty much as per normal.
Yep.
And so heaps of people are going out and doing all these really excellent trips, spending a whole bunch of time outside. And we've also, you know, now got an international retailer on board, which is Further Faster in New Zealand. They're doing a great job. We're really happy to be working with them. And we're also really motivated because the things that make Wilderness Equipment great, particularly in regards to performance in wet weather conditions, high winds, quite remote, difficult to access places, you know, that means that we do well in Tasmania, but then I guess New Zealand has much more of that kind of terrain.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're really excited about helping Kiwi Outdoors people get into some of our quality gear, particularly with their really strong canvas pack heritage there, and us being you know, a brand that makes really excellent large packs for big expeditions in canvas. We should be able to really help some people get into some excellent packs over there, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So you said earlier that the school season, that's really maybe your B2B sort of aspect to it. The school season, you came to a halt sort of thing with all that sort of stuff. What about like B2C, which was like everyday people like myself? Did you see a spike in orders there? So
certainly our like direct-to-consumer sales have been good. But I guess an interesting part of how our business works is that we've been 43 years of wholesale. And we launched our new website in February of this year and started really, I guess, taking orders through that site in April or May. So I don't actually have like a back period to compare my sales to. So I can't be like, you know, August was really good compared to August last year. I can just be like, August is how it was, which is, you know, you can't kind of, you know, you can't divide by zero. So so it's been great. I think that particularly for regional Australians, that's been really important. And particularly in places where there have been store closures and people are still being able to get outside locally, but they're not able to actually travel to go into a physical retailer, it enables them to actually get their hands on some new equipment that they need while still living in their own bubble and not being able to kind of break out of those restrictions. So I think in terms of, you know, we're all just about trying to help people get outside and you know, having a sort of direct sales channel through the website facilitates that and helps those people who can't easily access a physical retailer.
Do you find that the whole camping sort of, I want to say movement, but you know, people going camping, did that come to a halt during COVID? Or because of obviously the restrictions, you can't necessarily move outside? Remember how we had those zones early on?
So definitely in the early part of the year, there was just like a complete stop. Like I remember thinking in April, it was just like, you know, everything was pretty much dead in the water. But then as various states and territories started to either have successes or difficulties in containing it, we began to see either really big local booms or where they were having difficulties, sort of not a lot going on at all. So, you know, in Western Australia, we had our regional closures and not being able to move between regions. But that was for a relatively short period of time. And then once that opened up, we have a situation where, you know, there might be people who go on a European holiday every year or at least go, you know, go over east, go to the Snowy Mountains to go skiing or go over to New Zealand. All of these people who would have that kind of travel on a yearly basis were then limited to where they lived and exploring their own region. So I think that it's actually been great, particularly here in Western Australia, because we've got like a kind of domestic travel boom and certainly like a local hiking boom. Like I was trying to plan just to go camping, like not to go hiking or anything, just go camping down at Esperance. And the period for December, January, the national parks campsites in Esperance are completely booked. There's nothing available. So the, you know, the parks department are doing really great things. And I think that now all of these wonderful resources that we have in terms of campgrounds and trails locally here in Western Australia, but also more broadly around Australia, are getting, you know, really utilised, which is
getting
which is
the love
fantastic.
That they deserve, I guess.
Yeah, and getting people outside, spending a bit of time in the bush. You know, if this was the kind of thing that needed to kind of, I guess, force that change, then, you know, it's obviously, it's difficult, but it's great to actually see people outside doing things. And also, I think that probably helps with putting money into regional communities as more people travel and spend more time outside of the cities. So it's, you know, it's positive.
So touching maybe back now to your store, which is wildernessequipment.com.au. Easy. Started in February, the new store. So how did you guys market that new channel from the very beginning? Because you've run for 43 years, but you've been wholesale for 42 of those years, I would say.
So for us, we really believe in high service. So we rely on a really excellent dealer network around Australia. who are all our mates, and in some cases we've been working with, you know, some of our shops we've been working with for like 35 years.
Yep.
So really, really long-term relationships, and everything that we do as a business tries to, you know, honour and support those local relationships. So if someone gets in contact with me for a product and they're in the vicinity of a wilderness equipment dealer, I'll say, you know, go in and see, you know, this person, they'll be able to fit your pack for you or show you through your new tent, and that'll be great because that supports the relationship. In terms of, you know, getting people aware of what we're doing with our new website, we relied on a bit of Facebook.
Yep.
So more so organic reach rather than paid reach.
Yep.
Also Instagram. I particularly like Instagram stories.
Yep.
Because I like the more raw nature of it, and it's not so like pre-planned and trying to like
make it look perfect and stuff.
You know, this image up. It's all about like what's actually happening in the moment.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. And then more recently, we've also been doing a little bit more on LinkedIn, because I think that, you know, we have been doing this for quite a long time, and there's things that we understand about textiles engineering or aluminium tent poles which might not be widely understood.
Yeah.
And a lot of businesses use you know, like marketing spin and sort of proprietary names for fabrics.
Yep.
Or components, which sort of doesn't provide clear information to the end user about what they're actually getting. So we're trying to educate.
Yep.
And cut through and try to talk about realities based on, you know, a couple of lifetimes spent outside designing things, rather than trying to be like, this is cool, so you should get it.
yeah, for sure. Like educating the customer.
Yeah.
And like providing value more than just going, hey, this is a super cool, like 10-man tent, look what you can do in it, sort of.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you have to, I guess we're all about taking ownership. So one of our kind of ideas is ownership over consumption. So we don't want, you know, we don't want people to consume wilderness equipment. We don't want people to sort of like buy things endlessly. We would rather that you actually, you know, make the investment.
Yep.
And then understand innately how it works, whether it's how you pitch your tent, how you clean your tent, how you store your tent, or how to correctly fit your pack, how to maintain your pack, you know, how to make repairs to things so that you can have the responsibility to keep it in like tip-top condition,
right,
just like you would if you bought a car, you take it
to
the mechanic.
Yeah, for sure.
And to help people to look after these wonderful pieces of kit that they've made the investment in, so that they can get really long usable lifespans out of them. And we think that, you know, that's a really important part of conservation.
Yep.
Because if people buy like one wilderness equipment tent instead of three of our competitors, because ours last longer, then less non-renewable resources have been consumed, less money's been spent.
Yep.
So there's, you know, a strong conservation outcome, there's a good economic outcome for the user, and then it's great for us as well because we get to continue having this life where we spend time outside and we make gear.
So maybe let's touch upon a little bit on your strategy. We spoke about it earlier before we recorded, like what your ethos is around content. Did you want to share?
Yeah, totally. I think that, you know, because we're a small business. It's really just Ian and myself.
Yep.
And he handles design and production side of things, and I handle this kind of stuff. And,
yep.
Because of that, because we are such a small team and we're very busy with lots of tasks, we've always been like, well, we need to produce content for social media.
Yep.
And having a like focused idea of like, well, we need to produce content, but then we go outside and I actually have to force myself to grab my camera, and it's not like a natural process. So I've kind of flipped my thinking and I've just been like, okay, well, rather than trying to produce content and make a plan and go for it, I think that we're more focusing on trying to document experiences. So we spend time outside, let's just try to document that.
Yep.
And rather than going, okay, well, there's these massive brands, you know, there's these billion-dollar brands who have these huge marketing budgets, who have, you know, all this money that they can allocate to production costs to make these beautiful polished things that look like Hollywood films.
Yep.
Like, that's great.
Yep.
That's not us. So, you know, if I can shoot stories on my phone, if I can, you know, come and do interviews with, like, you know, you guys, or I can talk at events, like I was at the Perth Full Drive Show a couple of weeks ago, and I can document all that content, and then I can share those things with a wider audience, and also help with our kind of education message through actually sharing that content, so it's not over once I've delivered it in person.
Yeah,
I think that that's going to be, I think that's going to be really good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So where did you get that idea from? Because I've known there's a few marketers out there who have sort of shared this message. Do you follow any one particular where you get these sort of ideas, or?
So I think that the thing for me is, like, we really go, well, like, who are we as a brand?
Yeah.
And more recently I've had sort of like an epiphany, which is, well, we make things that fundamentally are because we think they're good ideas.
Yeah.
And so the brand should be about, you know, the marketing should be about, like, helping to share what it's like to be a part of the brand.
Okay.
Because we're not trying to go, well, this is how we want to position ourselves so that we can, like, sell as many things to, like, a market segment as possible. I think if you have a you know, if you've got an outdoor brand where you sit in a boardroom and go, how are we going to sell more things to this market segment? Then you need to sort of, like, have a bit of a harder look about why you're in the game to begin with.
Mm.
So I think that it's all about actually just bringing people inside. And it's more of a, it was more of careful consideration from my part.
Yeah.
And thinking about the experiences that I've had over, you know, 8 years of doing this role. And then thinking back to when I was uni before that, and the things that we kind of talked about in, you know, in a marketing commerce degree, and going, and just going, well, the whole world's changed since I was at uni in terms of the tools that are available to us.
For sure.
And I think that people are a little bit tired of sort of overly polished, disingenuous messaging.
Yep.
And so I just want to actually include people, make it a little bit more raw, but real.
Yep.
So that, you know, our users actually can see where we're coming from and feel like they're a part of it, rather than, you know, like,
I
feel like they're being sold to, which is not our, that's, you know, our whole goal is it's about helping people get outside, have positive experiences by giving them the best possible equipment.
Yeah. So, I think that strategy sort of really does tie in well with, like, the products themselves, because, like, I think of outdoorsy as, like, nothing is sort of perfect, like, it's pretty rugged and
absolutely,
you know, and like, if you do some really cool polished up sort of stuff, then it doesn't really match with the cool ruggedness of your brand. So, like, I think you having it a lot more raw and just down to earth hits the spot. I think even with the market segment, because I don't think they're expecting, like, boom 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 animations here and all that. They're just sort of like, just show me what you guys are, tell me who you are and all that sort
and
of stuff.
I think that that's, I appreciate that you said that, and I think that, like, already, like, our product catalogs, probably, if you know who everyone is in them, you realise that they're sort of a family photo album. But that's who we are. I mean, that's cool. That's the rawness.
That's cool, though, you know?
And, you know, like, I've been, I think the first WA catalogue that I was in was the 1996 catalogue. Right. On my bicycle with a day pack on, as a 6-year-old on the ramp down at North Cottesloe Beach to open up the day pack section.
Yep.
And, you know, have continued to be in Wilderness Equipment product catalogues ever since. And we'll continue to do so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
but we're all out there doing it as well. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's you know, it's a reflection of the lifestyle. And, you know, like, Ian, he last year did a 21-day walk in Sweden, in Pajalanta. So, like, right up in north in Sweden. With mum. And, you know, like, they're spending huge amounts of time outside. And, you know, this year with local, with all those restrictions that are in place, like, they haven't been going abroad to do big trips, but instead it's been, like, you know, like, lots of canoe trips, like a deep river trip, Blackwood River trips, cycle touring, because we're relaunching our pannier range.
Yep.
And just, you know, actually spending a lot of time outside. So rather than forcing it and going, like, let's get people out to do a photo shoot, but it's all constructed, it's like, we're actually on a trip and everyone's dirty. And we've been out here for days.
Yeah.
And so so it's going to be raw.
Yeah, perfect.
No one looks good. No one smells good. It's just, that's how it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like glamping. Like.
Yeah, no one's had their hair done.
So for you, what's been, like, your favorite platform to make content, and what is your favorite, and what is, like, the best, been the best platform, do you think, for you guys?
I think that, I mean, personally, my favourite platform would be Instagram.
Yep.
I think it's really nice. I also think that it reflects really strongly on, I guess, how people are consuming media. And I also just like the removal of, I guess, barriers to content production. It's like, if you've got a phone, you can film a video.
Yep, that's it.
Like, and that's it. That's all there is to it. And I also think that the user group who are on there are really pushing towards things that are a little bit more real. And I think that there's going to be a bit of a, like a sort of, we've had the really sort of polished side.
Yep.
And I think that people are understanding, well, the polished side's nice. And, you know, maybe it showcases places you want to go. But
yep.
Let's talk about what the realities are.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, like as an outdoors person, and I think about, you know, content that I look at, I really like seeing people getting out in, like, our local environment and doing trips that I personally would like to do and would have the capability to do.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, I would like to go, you know, rock climbing, but I'm not going to solo half done. Like, it's just, you know, like, I really like, you know, seeing content that's relevant to me, and I think Instagram provides that.
Yeah.
I think that also LinkedIn has, you know, we haven't been active on it at all until very recently. And I've also found that quite nice because it's very positive.
Yeah.
And I also find it nice to, I guess, connect with people, particularly in the outdoor education community, who are, you know, like, people who I know and work with from all around Australia. And at the moment, because I'm not going to the East Coast to see people,
yep.
I think that embracing these kinds of communication platforms is more important because I'm not having as much, like, face-to-face contact.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to, you know, have everyone coming together in one place and being able to talk as a community, because physical, you know, community stuff is not really on the table. Like, the National Outdoor Education Conference, which we are a gold sponsor of, have been for the last few conferences, was supposed to go ahead this year, but got cancelled, and we're looking forward to going when it is on next year, so that we get to see all of our mates in the outdoor education community and get to, you know, have the discussions about how everyone's been going.
Yep.
But until then, I guess we're sort of limited to these kinds of things.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think LinkedIn's awesome for us, I think, as well, at KeepSpace. It's just gain contact with, like, the decision makers. I think on Instagram and on Facebook, you don't really, it's more consumer based, which is fine as well, because I think everyone's a consumer at the end of the day, whether you run a business or not. But yeah, just being able to really easily hit those demographics is really, really cool on LinkedIn.
I just think it's nice because people are sharing really positive educational things. So
yep.
I feel like it's probably a place where there's more learning actually takes place. Like,
there's less noise
than,
on there.
Yeah, you know? Rather than being like, you know, like, here's like a great video of like kittens, which you know, everyone loves, obviously. But, you know, it's sort of just like, it's just like consumption of like something that's like nice.
Yeah.
Whereas
exactly.
I feel like in LinkedIn, you maybe get like more information that actually helps you build understanding.
Yeah. And you take something away from it.
Yeah. And
well.
I think that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking forward, what's the future like for Wilderness Equipment?
So I think the future's looking very bright. We are, you know, on this quest to help, to try to reach more international outdoors people, and we're embarking on that quest through a direct-to-consumer approach.
Yeah.
And the reason that we're looking kind of outside of Australia is really, it comes down to how we make our equipment. And as I said, you know, back at the start of this, we make equipment for really bad conditions, you know, really wet, really high winds. And I love living in Australia. I love living in Western Australia because it's nice and warm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find myself sleeping just on the ground without a tent more often than I find myself inside a tent just because it's so temperate here. Mm. And that being the case, it means that, you know, like, there aren't maybe so many people outside of places like Tasmania or Victoria, cooler climates with harsher weather, who need big cannabis packs or who need expedition tunnel tents. Whereas if we look to places like New Zealand, it's far more relevant. Or if we look to places like Canada, you know, like the west coast of Canada, it rains and rains and rains, and you can go out for a week trip and it's just getting wet the whole time. Like Vancouver Island, beautiful place. I've been there, rains a lot more than it does here. So going, okay, well, these are all outdoor users who don't know wilderness equipment, who could really benefit from knowing wilderness equipment, and we want to be able to help them.
Yeah, cool.
So that's kind of the plan. That's kind of the plan.
So last question before we wrap it up. I'm going to put you on the spot for this one, okay?
Okay.
So to end the podcast, we ask the guest to provide like a call to action for someone to do something to help their e-commerce business grow or to help their side hustle grow, whatever it is, right?
Yep.
So it can be anything. It can be like even motivational, anything. So what is your call to action, Henry?
Just do the thing that you love, you know? Just do the thing that you love. If you do the thing that you love, you're going to be happier.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to help more people. If you don't believe in it, no one else is going to believe in it. So don't do something you don't believe in.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. More episodes to come. Henry, if anyone wants to get in contact with you, Wilderness Equipment.
Wildernessequipment.com.au. Yep. Let's talk. You can send an email to info@wildernessequipment.com.au or check us out on the socials. Instagram is wilderness_equipment. Facebook is Wilderness Equipment. But thank you so much for having me.
No worries, man. Thanks for appearing on.
Epic.
So, thanks.
Cheers.
See you around.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Your Call to Action. This episode has been sponsored by KeepSpace. Do you run an e-commerce business? Is picking and packing your orders getting you down? Send your products to us and we'll get it done on time, every time, integrating right into your website and marketplace with amazing shipping rates. Go to keepspace.com.au/your call to action to get an amazing opportunity.